Father, we want to thank you that we have this opportunity to gather together, to break the bread of life, to bring into our proximity the Spirit of God, to invite you to be a part of that which we are participating in this morning. Father, we are living in such a critical time, living in such a crucial time, a time of the culmination of the ages, a time when that which is darkness rise to a position or a place to try to exert its supremacy over the hearts and over the minds of the people.
Hallelujah.
Father, there is a time in that time frame that you loose the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and that which has been implanted within our soul.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And it is this environment that activates that programming, Lord, that we might become that ark that thou hast that thou hast been working through the ages to bring to a place of fruition, that you might save humanity and that you might even save the world. So Father, we commit ourselves to you today. Commit my mind, my emotions, my desires, Father, that my will might be submitted unto the hand of God. Father, I pray for the ears of the hearer, that they would hear that which the Spirit speaketh expressly to those that are here this morning. So Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Very glad to be with you this morning. Praise the Lord. It's been a busy time for Nancy and I. Praise the Lord. And it doesn't seem like our schedule is going to slow down any after we leave here. Praise God. So we're very glad to have this opportunity to share, to break bread with you. I believe that the hour we live in is very, very critical as well as perilous. I don't think any of you who are aware of what the Scripture speaks about the end time can, well, I suppose you could, but it would be a futile effort, deny the element of time that we are living in the rising of the Antichrist and all of the things that pertain to it. Praise God. We this past weekend were very privileged to be in Dubuque, Iowa, where the Lord was ministering to all of us and encouraging us, strengthening us in the Word of God and in the task that is set before us. And there is a couple of scriptures that are on my heart this morning, and I'm really trying to determine what to do with them. But I think I will start in Hebrews. This was a word that Brother Chijoki brought in the London Luton Conference back in April. And there was a scripture that he brought in that during the course of that administration of the word that I would like to share with you. Praise God. If any of you have the availability, I suggest you get the Luton Conference tapes and listen to them. They were very, very good. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power,
when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than angels, he hath attained an inheritance, he hath by an inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, I am very glad. And there are several things in this verse I suppose you could minister on. But I am trying to hear the voice of God this morning. One of the things I believe that this verse is saying is that there has been a manner in which God has allowed the gospel of his kingdom and of his son, of Jesus Christ, to proceed and to be shared to the people and to the world at large. But that time frame has come to a close. That time frame has come to an end. And that he, Jesus Christ, is going to be expressly, I could say explicitly, I suppose, if that's a proper word. Do I got my dictionaries here this morning? Hallelujah. Could be said that he is going to be the one who is overseeing, looking into, orchestrating, and working the aspects of what it is that he calls his business. You think that's a misinterpretation? Hallelujah. Not only is he going to be explicitly involved in it, thank you very much, not is he going to be explicitly involved in it, but it goes to some extent to give you and me an understanding of the extent of the position or the place of his authority. Because it talks about him who was with God in the beginning when he made the worlds, when he made the things that was in the world. Hallelujah. And that he, my goodness, thank you. That he was the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Hallelujah. Don't you like that verse? Not only was he there in the beginning, not only is he a representation of God, an expressed image, and I looked that word expressed image up, and it means an exact replica, and not in the sense of replication of something, but it is as it were the same thing. Hallelujah. Don't you like that? Hallelujah. There's not only is he the expressed image of his person, but he is also the power by which things now operate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear it? It's not that he was creation and that he created and that he brought all things into existence, but in the existence of them, as we are looking at them today, they are held in place by that position of his authority. So it is a picture of someone who is intensely involved in the business for which had been put into his hands. Praise the Lord. And that is very important for me. As I am trying to make my way through the deficits of humanity and the maladies of my darkness, it's very important for me to understand that though I do not see it or necessarily sense it, God is in control.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And that's all I have to believe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I don't really have to believe about anything else if, as long as I have a reality of the God that is in Christ Jesus, that is in me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hello? Did you hear it? Praise the Lord. Yes. The God that was there in the beginning, who said, let us make a man in our own image, in our own likeness. Hallelujah. And by that likeness and image that was programmed into humanity, praise God, and that I, by virtue of the acceptance of His blood, and by virtue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which He gave unto me, am in the same position, the same place, and have that same recognition. Hallelujah. I think that Paul said it once in one of his Gospels, or maybe many times, that we might have our being in Him. Hallelujah. It's very important for you and I to understand that concept of authority. Not that we have the authority, but as we are under Christ and as we are working with Christ to develop the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we are working to develop the nature of Christ, dealing with the aspects of the darkness that have to be illuminated. Did you hear me? Right. Hallelujah. By reason of our natural birth and that the fact that we were born under the curse of Adam, which is the curse of death. Hallelujah. We are by nature creatures of darkness. Hallelujah. And when God comes, there is a light that shines into that darkness. And that light is to illuminate us to the reality of that darkness. Hello? If you're an individual who is blind, I suppose, darkness is a fact of life. You never know the reality of it. You never know the reality of what is light until in some way or some manner that something happens miraculously. Do you know the thing about the healings that God did to blind men in the scriptures is that they always wanted to see.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Do you hear me? You know, there is a spiritual blindness as well as a natural blindness. And I believe that that blindness is contingent upon us as individuals. And I think that we all are born blind. Hello? There is a parable in the Bible, or there was an incident, hallelujah, in the Bible where a blind man came to Jesus Christ. Well, there were several blind men, but one blind man in particular. In the context of the scripture, the man was Jesus said he was not born blind because of sin or some fault or action of his parents, but he was born blind for what?
The glory.
That the glory of God might be what? Manifested. How was that glory manifested? He received his sight. He's talking about you and me in humanity. He's talking about you and me in the position of a relationship with the world. My goodness. Hallelujah. He's talking about the darkness in which we are born under the sin and the curse of death. Now, when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it's not only an experience, but it is a prophetic experience. It's a prophetic happening. It's prophesying to you that here you were a sinner and now you are alive. So? So I have been saved. I am being saved. And I shall be yet saved more tomorrow.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
But you know, human nature being what it is, and seemingly very defiant at times, and very obstinate at other times, and most of the time, very stubborn. Of course, maybe that's not your malady. Maybe you haven't had that experience. But I look at my grandchildren, and I see a replication of me in their position. You tell them to do something, and they just look at you. Or if you tell them to do something, they just get busy doing something else. It's like you didn't even say anything. Have anybody had that experience besides me? Hallelujah. Yes, yes. But, you know, it's not, it's replicated, but when I look in the mirror, I see the same reflection.
Yes.
There is something about change that I do not like. And I'm not quite sure just exactly what it is. Maybe it's the insecurity of knowing what it is that I am changing from to what I have to change to. Maybe it's in the aspect of thinking that I'm somehow, some way, going to lose some aspect of my identity, my position of masculinity, my position or place of personage as to who and what I am. Because I know that in some respects, you understand. And what I am, regardless of how bad it may be, hallelujah, I am comfortable with it. I am comfortable with it. I can hide when I want to hide. I can run when I want to run. And I can do whatever I want when I want to do it, regardless of the environment that I am. It is something that is in me that brings a comfort of or a sense of security to me. And if I'm not willing to look at that aspect of my character as darkness, then I cannot and will not be delivered.
That's right.
Yes. Hallelujah. You know, there is a thing called denial, I think. I've heard it in different professional fields. But one of the major places where I think it is often illustrated is in the realm of medical maladies. There are certain diseases and things that are like an indictment of death, that there is no hope within them. And when people here are come into that position or into that place, they begin to say, well, I'm not really sick. I don't really have this thing in me. I don't feel the pain. I don't feel the discomfort. I am all right. The doctor is wrong. That's why when people have certain maladies or certain situations that are pronounced on them, they always want a second opinion. They always want a third opinion. Maybe they want a fourth and fifth opinion. Why? Because they're trying to get some basis on which they can stand to say, what you are saying about me is not true.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. And you know, we react that way a lot concerning the position, the place of where it is that we are with Jesus Christ and what it is that He's wanting to do with us and how it is He wants to bring that to pass. Hello? I'm not such a bad person. You know, I'm pretty good. I do this, I do that. I give to the church, I feed the poor, I'm involved in the work of God here, and I'm over here, and I'm not so bad a person, maybe. You know what I mean? Our defense attorneys all lined up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hallelujah. There was a message that I was listening to, and that also was in when we were coming across Illinois and Nebraska, Iowa and Nebraska. I listened to the Luton conference. So I just came from Luton. And there was a word that one of the brothers was bringing, and the aspect of the position or the place of the calling and the election, and he was talking about vision.
Yes.
We have a revelation of vision, but I don't know that many of us have an understanding of vision. A vision is not necessarily knowing about something or seeing it. Vision is believing in it. Believing in the reality of it. And if you do not believe in the reality of Jesus Christ, you cannot believe in the vision. Did you hear me? If you do not believe that Jesus Christ could physically come into your circumstance, your situation... Hallelujah. You know, one of the things that was a blessing to me in my relationship with Brother Ducille was his personal testimony.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I had heard before of men who had met Jesus Christ. I haven't been quite so fortunate to have that experience. I've met the devil a couple of times. I don't know what that says. Hallelujah. But as for Jesus Christ, I haven't met him personally in a physical sense. At least not that I'm aware of. He could have been there. He could have manifested himself in some way or another. I know that there have been angels that I have talked to on occasion. I did not know that until after the fact, and they were gone. Hallelujah. What's that say for my discernment, right? Praise the Lord. I even tried to tip one time. And you know, he got mad at me. And I think he was mad at me because I didn't discern him. And he helped us out of a very tight spot, by the way, too. And by the way, that was in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. Now you know why I tried to tip him. Praise the Lord. And we need to, the thing about Brother Dusile was his absoluteness about his experience.
That's right.
Yes. Hallelujah. And you know, somehow and in some way, God does that for with a man in one way or another to encourage me. Do you understand that? Because I can say, if this man had that experience, then why can't I have this experience?
Yes, yes.
But there is something in what that experience was and what it was determined to do, and my knowing about it and what it is determined to do within me. You understand? What it determined to do within him was to give him the faith to get up and to run with a message. What it is to do in me is to give me the faith to believe that I can climb up the ladder of God into the realm of that having that relationship with him. And I believe that when this verse says that he is now expressly talking to us through his son, I don't believe it's just in an ethereal realm. I believe that there is a place, a position, a relationship that we can come to, even as Adam was in the garden. Why do you think it was there? Why did they record it? Do you realize it could have been obliterated at any one time? One translator, one person, one thought, one context of religiosity could have just scratched it out, and we would not know that God was expressly coming down and talking with a man called Adam.
That's right.
Now, brethren, we're not really always told so explicitly in that respect concerning that type of relationship. But I want you to consider a couple of people, if you would. I want you to consider Enoch. Hallelujah. Enoch said he walked with God. And it says it explicitly. It says it in a definitive manner. It meant that even as Jim would sit here and he would get up. Would you get up for just a moment, brother? Hallelujah. And as he would walk with me. Hallelujah. And talk with me. Hallelujah. So God walked and talked with Adam. Hallelujah. I'm not satisfied just to come and sit in the chair and hear somebody else talk about what they are hearing from God. I'm not satisfied with just coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and never elevating or never climbing or never reaching a plateau by which I might have that experience. Hallelujah. So it says that Enoch walked with God. And the thing about it is, it was preserved.
Amen.
You probably have done some study on the history of the Bible, right? In the various aspects of how it was produced and whatnot and how it came to being. And all of those mechanics were and by so many different people in so many different places. How is it that those words were retained?
Yes.
By divine intervention, don't you think? And that God wanted you and I, well, maybe not you, but me, he wanted me to know that that position, that place, was somewhere that I could desire to be in.
Yes.
Hello? You know, there's something very important about the want to. If you don't have the want to, then you're in the wrong place and I'm talking to the wrong people. But if you have the want to, it's the want to that brings you, that brings forth the effort. It's the want to that pushes you. It's the want to that convicts you of your position of negligence. If I didn't want God, I could do whatever I wanted to do and not be convicted. Hallelujah. But because I want God, when I do wrong, I am convicted. There is something to come to pronounce a condemnation to me. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, I don't really look at condemnation as something. Nah, I'm not talking about self-generated condemnation. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. Wicked, wicked, wicked. I'll never make it into God. No. I don't. I'm talking about that condemnation. I'm talking about condemnation. Bert, you know you could have done better. And what you did, you didn't do right. And you have to go back and make amends. Hello? Come on. Without that is vision, by the way. That is where vision begins. That's where vision has its roots in. Vision has its roots in repentance. Hello? Maybe your experience with Jesus Christ was different than mine. My experience with Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and when I first became aware of His presence in actuality, hallelujah, is when I was convicted of my position of sin and degradation.
Yes.
Where did yours start? Where did yours start? It's a valid question. Where did it start? Hallelujah. I think it was the want to that was pushing Brother Mark. I've heard so many different testimonies concerning Hit when he was in the church and raised as a Mennonite and all of those things. And there was something about what he was doing, where he was at, and the life that was crashing down around him. Huh? And wasn't it true? Or did I misunderstand it? Hallelujah. That it was the want to. There has to be something better than this.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There has to be something better than this. I have to be dissatisfied. I have to be dissatisfied with what it is I am, with what it is I'm involved in, with what it is that is going around me. Hallelujah. I have to be dissatisfied with it in order to get out of it. Hallelujah. When one of the things that drove me into getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, I was born again when I was 18 years old. When I was 12, I backslid. And when I was about 21, 22, somewhere in there, maybe 23, I began to turn my heart back to the Lord. But there was an interim or a space of time in there of about 9 to 10 years of sin and degradation on an escalated scale. I mean, it wasn't just one little step. It was big plunges down into the depths of hell.
Yes.
Hello? And when I began to become conscious of the fact that I was going to hell. You know, I was a Baptist. I found the Lord in a Baptist camp, a Baptist youth camp called Royal Ambassadors. Hallelujah. Man, you have a philosophy, once saved, always saved. So why should I worry about it? You know, why should I? I heard the preacher preach some total atrocities of gospel. Hallelujah. So why should I worry about it? But my experience with God was genuine, and that is what began to work something in my character. I had that solid anchor in there to pull on me, and to make me aware that though I am saved, I am going to hell.
Yes.
And I needed to find a release for it. I did not want to go to hell. You can say, you could probably say it scared the hell out of me. I literally scared me to death. Because hell was real to me. I mean, my experience of salvation, I saw hell as an 8-year-old child. Hallelujah. I saw hell. And I did not want to go to that place. Hallelujah. And it didn't make any difference now that I was 22 or 23 years of age. What I had when I was 8 was genuine, and what I had when I was 12 and thought I lost was there working to try to rein me in. And God tried many different ways, and each way got more severe. You understand? More firm, so to speak. Hallelujah. But when I finally decided that I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, I went after it. Because not because I wanted it so much as I knew or what I was being told, it would do something about my condition or my position of degradation and darkness.
Amen.
Oh my goodness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a want to. If you don't have the want to, and the want to don't just come, you have to see the reality of your situation. You have to see the predicament of your circumstances and whether or not they are producing what needs to be produced to bring the reality of God into your experience to the point and to the extent that He wants to be there. Has nothing to do with me. I may want 30%. I may want 60%. But God wants 100%. That's the difference between me and God. I can settle for 30, but God isn't going to necessarily let me settle for 30. Unless I say to Him, I don't want any more. And I can do that. I have the light. I have the liberty to do that. Because I am a free will agent. I am a man that has the right to choose. And God gave me the right to choose for one reason. Because it is in the choice of choosing light that makes me like God. If I had no real to choose, I would never be able to come to His likeness. Hello? It is the ability to choose. You have to choose between what you are being confronted with and the reality of the circumstances of who and what you are. Oh my goodness. Paul, is anybody here measure up to Paul yet? Huh? Does anybody measure up to him? His understanding, his tenacity, his determination, his diligence, his willingness to suffer. Has anybody come to that place? I don't think so. And yet we're still striving to get to be where Jesus Christ is. Paul says, I bring my what? Body under what? Subjection. Why?
That I may know.
Huh?
To others, I would not fail.
Yes, at least I be after having taught and brought many to a position or a place of understanding. I myself, what?
Become a castaway.
Oh, forget Jesus Christ now. We're just talking about a man who knows Jesus Christ and the word or the pressure that was on him because of the knowledge that he had. Not only the knowledge. You have to remember that Paul met Jesus Christ. He met him on the road to Damascus. Hallelujah. And God put his stamp of approval upon the man. When he came to the servant of God there, what was his name? See, we can't even remember his name. Paul, I remember. Jesus Christ, I remember. But the man that God sent to Paul, we can't remember. Praise God.
Ananias.
Huh?
Ananias.
Ananias. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, this man has my spirit upon him, and he has been called for a specific reason. Go and pray for him. Huh. Oh, yes, you would have probably jumped up right off your chair, right, sister? Run right over there. But Ananias, is this not the same Paul who is Saul? Huh? His first instinct was self-preservation. That was his first instinct, self-preservation. And that is our number one enemy. In any situation, I don't care what it is. I don't care who it is. I don't care who is right and who is wrong. Our instinct that comes out in the midst of those circumstances of confrontation of that nature are self-preservative. We start putting in place the battlements and putting on the armor. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So and not only that, but Paul, there is a 14-year space of time we don't know anything about. The only thing that we know about it is it says that he was on the backside of the desert.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah! What do you think he was doing over there? Hallelujah! I think he was walking and talking with God. for 14 years, walking and talking with God. No telling. God knows what the circumstances were. God knows what the situation was. He could have been eating locusts and honey. Hallelujah. Out there with no one around. We don't know. But what we do know is the character of the man when he came back on the scene. Something had so irrevocably changed in his being that his name changed.
Yes, right.
Isn't that funny? Hallelujah. His name changed. How many of you would want to change your name? Huh? No. You like your names. Hallelujah. Your name identifies you. Your name is who you are. Or you could be just, you don't like your name. You just want to get as far away from it as possible. Well, unfortunately, you're not going to lose it until you get to a place that you can accept it so you can lose it. Hallelujah. Recognizing it for what it is. Recognizing it for the reality of who and what I am in the realm of the natural arena and under the auspices of that which I was born so many years ago in the family of Asbel. Everything has to go. It has to be jettisoned, brethren. Difficult. Oh yes, difficult. But it's not. Only if we do not understand or have a reality of what is up there in front of us. If we don't have a vision that is a real. Oh yes, I know. At the end of the day, Martha came to Jesus. Said, "Jesus, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." She was speaking the truth. You know that.
Yes, amen.
She was speaking the truth. It wasn't that she was lying, but God rebuked her. It was a rebuke nonetheless. Yeah, hallelujah. Don't you know? Martha? No, she didn't know. Don't you know, Martha, that I am the resurrection? Oh yes, Lord. Okay, did you hear? We are like that. Don't you understand? That is our position. That is our place. We like to point the finger and say, "Well, that one's Martha. That one's Martha. That means I'm Mary."
Yeah. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we're all Mary. We're all Marthas.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We have a theological concept. We have a theological thought. That at the end of day, at the end of time, oh yes, I've lived a good life. I've worked with the things of God. I've moved in it. I've healed people. I've delivered people. I've seen people. I prophesied over people. What did God say about those people? I don't know you. I don't know you. You know, our problems do not come from who it is and what it is that we are dealing with in a corporate setting or even in a private setting individually. It comes from what is inside of me. No, I'm not saying I'm your problem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It comes from within inside of me. It comes within, and there's nothing anyone can do about the me. Do you understand that? If I don't do something about the me, no one is able outside of God who might in some manner or way divinely intervene. You know, the only way that God will intervene in that way, if He is merciful, is to take me home.
Yeah.
If He's merciful. Hallelujah. The only way that I'm going to deal with me is if I begin to compare who I am with the vision of what I have concerning Christ Jesus. I need a visitation. I need an impartation. I need a place of revelance that I can come to in the aspect of my walk in Christianity to be able to persevere and to press no matter what. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, in these times, and brethren, there was a man called Flip Wilson. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? Was that before your time? Huh? He brought an expression into Christianity. He brought an expression into Christianity. And it was a Christian concept of the church. Huh? And the expression was, the devil made me do it. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He was a big guy on that phrase.
Yes, he was.
It made him a millionaire. It made him very, very rich, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Hallelujah. Unfortunately, it made him very rich, but it is a concept. It is a thought. It is the aspect of who there is now something we can blame all of these bad things on.
Right.
Hallelujah. We can blame it on the devil.
Yeah.
Oh yes, devil made me do it. Oh, that dirty devil. I was just talking, hearing somebody talk. Devil here, devil there, devil over there, devil, 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 devil. And I'm thinking, yeah, there's a lot of devils around because there's a lot of darkness. Hallelujah. You know, the devils feed off of darkness. Did you know that? Hallelujah. In fact, there are some devils that are so wicked and so vile and so obscene that they can't even abide in the light. They have to follow the darkness, the natural darkness around the world. Hello? Sowing their seeds of discontent, sowing their seeds of discord, sowing their seeds of all manner of maliciousness into the realm of humanity, whether it's heathen humanity or Christian humanity. Hallelujah. Well, you know, the devil's network is a good one. It's a good one. You know, the devil is not omnipresent. He does not have we have it up on him. You know that? We have it up on him. Because he's not omnipresent.
Amen.
So he has to rely upon his network. You know, all of these things that we are seeing as far as a computer is concerned and all of the wonderful things that it can do and how it can contact and how it can communicate. I can be in, where was I one time? Kind of surprised. Well, it was in Africa somewhere. I don't remember where, but it was out in the bush. But I got 2 bars on my phone. I got 2 bars out in the bush on my phone. 10 years ago, it would have been impossible. Hallelujah. That means I can text my wife. Pop, 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 pop. I am here in the bush. Please pray. And in 2 seconds, 3 seconds, I got a text back. Hallelujah. That's how the devil works. That's how the devil works. You know, I've been in many different places. And I have talked about this before in many of those places. And I talked about the devil's network and how he was gathering information. Have any of you heard that? Me speak about that? Huh? Gathering information, the dossiers, the files, and the councils. Have you heard some of those things that I've said about it? Hallelujah. Do you think it was just out of my mind?
No, it's real.
Huh?
Real.
Do you think it's real?
Yeah.
Huh? You know a few months later what they came out with? Huh? In the news?
Mm-hmm.
What'd they come out with? NSA.
Yeah.
A few months later, they come out with the NSA gathering information. You know, you think that that was a coincidence? Do you think that there was something the Lord was showing me in the Spirit concerning the devil? And then all of a sudden you find out this big spread. They're reading your emails. They're tapping your phone conversations. They're looking at all of your history and all of the things. And you know, we got mad, right? Did you get mad? Did you feel violated? Oh, yes, you would. Of course you would. But you know, how many of us are willingly giving the devil that information anyway? How many of you got Facebook? You put all your information on there. Most of you, some of you do, maybe not all of you. And you know, there was an article in the paper that I read about this other thing that they started up here. What was it?
Twitter.
No, not Twitter. It's just the same thing. But not quite as bad as Facebook because it doesn't have the detailed information that you put on Facebook or LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Huh? Well, whatever it is. Hallelujah. I get one of those notices, I just delete it. And when I get another one, I go and I say, unsubscribe. I'm getting smarter. Hallelujah. So we put everything. It has something to do with imaging or something. Somebody put some pictures on this thing of their children.
Oh, my God.
You say, oh, my God. And somebody took the pictures and they incorporated in pornographic videoing somehow. And the person was shocked when they opened something and saw their little daughter.
God help us.
Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what it takes for us to wake up. I don't know what it takes for us to understand the position of our dilemma. We are living in that, not the beginning, the middle. We are living in the end of the end time. Back in September, I believe it was, or somewhere around there, maybe August, the Lord spoke to me. He says, about 2013, and I ministered it somewhere. He says, you haven't seen anything yet.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. This is the time frame. This is the field in which you and I should be coming to a position or a place of maturity.
Amen.
Now, I want you, there's something else that you and I need to consider. Hallelujah. Concerning the word that you have, the time frame we're living in, and the culmination of what it is coming to. Hallelujah. And that thought is what is addressed in Noah's, the account of Noah in the Old Testament. Hello? Do you know, you remember where, when it's reiterated, how he talks about Noah and he's building an ark? Wherein what? Eight souls might be saved. I'm asking God, am I one of the eight?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're asking God. Maybe you're business. Maybe you're tied up in business. Maybe you're tied up in family. Maybe you're tied up in different kinds of things and environments that are working. But my thought, my consciousness concerning the word that I have heard, the word that has been delivered to me as an individual, in the aspect of what it is, the calling, the election, the vision that I have for the end time. Am I one of the eight? It's a valid question for me. It's a valid question for you, I think.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Because the account of Noah in the ark pertained to an ark people.
Amen.
And God is building an ark. Hello? God is building an ark. He is building an ark to save humanity. And if you do not think that humanity is on the verge of extinction, I suggest you go back and read about the deal they're cutting with Iran. These things affect us. Maybe not so much now because we don't see the ramifications of it. We go about our business buying and selling and working in the arena of what we have our expertise, doing our gardening, cleaning our house, whatever it may be, going to the grocery shop without the realization that time is running out very quickly, very fast. Time is running. It's not like you had the time you had 20 years ago, John. Not like the time you had 10 years ago. Not like the time you had 5 years ago. Hallelujah. It is paramount for me now to do something concerning my position of relationship with a living God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I don't mean that, yes, I'm saved and I'm going to go on about my personal business. I have to begin to jettison my personal business. Now, I didn't say yours. I didn't say yours. I said mine. Hallelujah. There was a difference. God called 12. Out of the 12, there were 3. And out of the 3, there was 1.
Yeah.
I want to be part of the 1. Do you understand that? Not because I want to have it over somebody or rule over somebody else, but I want to be able to do what's necessary in that time as Noah did with his time. Now, we were talking about personal relationship. Now, we know nothing about Noah, but I can probably be safe in saying he was not a graduate of the School of Engineering on how to build an ark. Hallelujah. When God called me into farming, I didn't know anything about farming. I thought you just grew them and you went and bought them in the grocery store. Huh? That's all I knew about farming. I'm telling you, it's all I knew about it. Hallelujah. I had to get down and dig. I had to get down and go. I had to do things in order to obtain information. Sometimes we would travel for 6 or 7 or 8 hours to attend the seminar. Just how to plant potatoes. Hello? Hallelujah. You know, you have to plant a potato a certain way in order for that potato to do. I thought you'd do... It don't work that way. Birds love it. Hallelujah. Worms like it. Hallelujah. But if you want potatoes, that's not what you got to do to the potato. Hello? Hallelujah. And there's something you have to do with the ground. It took me time, energy, and money to find out how to prepare the ground to receive the seed. Hallelujah. So where did this man Noah, out of all of the population? Now think of that too. How many people do you think were in existence at that time? A couple hundred thousand, maybe a million people? I don't know. But it was more than eight, wasn't it? In fact, it would make eight seem a very small and insignificant matter. You think you're insignificant? That's a good start. That's a good place. Hallelujah. It is a good start. It's a good place. But in comparison, it seems awfully, 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 awfully small. And yet it says, it shall be as it was in the days of Noah. Hallelujah. We should go back over and read Noah. We should read him and read him and read him and read him. And then ask God to tell us what it is and how it is he is. We are to be like him. Hello? Hallelujah. There's something about Noah that we need to learn. There's something about Enoch. Enoch was a man with responsibilities. I don't remember how many children he had. He had 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know. That's a lot of children. I think more than 2 is a lot of children. After 2, they begin to multiply. 2 can seem like 4. 4 can seem like 8. 8 can seem like a half a dozen. It can seem like a dozen and a half. Huh? Hallelujah. I've never seen so many little children, and in little numbers make so much noise. It sounds like a whole crowd. Hallelujah. Enoch was a man who had a wife. He had children. That means he had responsibilities. Amen. He had to work. He had to provide money. He had to provide clothes. He probably had wife problems, husband problems, children problems, community problems, governmental problems. Because he was living in a wicked environment. You know, Brother Dusile prophesied. He says there's going to be a style that is called naked.
Yes.
Have you guys seen the style?
Yes. Unfortunately.
Oh, unfortunately. You just walk down any big city street. Chicago. Hallelujah.
Go to
the billboards. Huh? Magazines. There used to be a magazine. My mother used to get called Better Homes and Gardens. Anybody familiar with that? What does Better Homes and Gardens have to do with pornography? And yet you go into the Better Homes and Gardens and they have obscene pictures of women. Better Homes and Gardens. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, my goodness! There is no movie that I am aware of that does not portray or promote sexuality in one form or another. And almost every Every movie now includes some sort of homosexual activity.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And you know what? The collective mind, the mass mind of humanity demands it.
Yes.
Now, if you're just sitting down in your pew or your seat, doing the normalcy of Christianity, what you are doing is not enough.
That's right.
You have to get up higher. Now, what will the devil do when you start trying to get up higher? What was he going to do? You think he's just going to sit there and, oh, this guy's going for broke. This guy's pressing in. Huh? This guy's he's overcoming. He's overcoming. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. I'm trying to remember where I was. It was somewhere in Africa. but we were on a mission somewhere. Oh, yes. We went into. You don't mind if I lean on you, do you? We went into Liberia, and we went out there in the bush. We went up about 50 miles on the Liberia side of the Sierra Leone border. We were in a county. Liberia is. Have I got the right one? Liberia.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. There's another one with an L, but I'm just, Libya. All right, Liberia. We were in Liberia, 50 miles out in the bush in this county that is 90% Muslim. It's the only county that has that quantity of Muslim. It's 90% Muslim. Hallelujah. And we're bringing the word of God to 15 or 16 pastors, was it? 15 to 20 pastors. Pastors. Hallelujah. Baptists, whatever else. Hallelujah. Evangelical thinking, maybe Pentecostal in some ways or another. I don't know. Maybe some of those in there. And we're bringing the word of God to them. And it's not in watered down. It's not watered down, brethren. We're talking about the harlot system. We're talking about the position of pastor. We're talking about the position of usurping the admiration and the affection of God's people upon them. Hallelujah. And it is breaking through the darkness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It's breaking through the darkness. Hallelujah. There is a revival. There's a fresh wind of revival. You know, I got up one morning. Was it the morning we left? I was awakened very early in the morning. We were staying in a guest house in a place. And when I got up and I walked into the room where we were eating, it was full of rats. Not little bitty ones. Big ones. I didn't tell my wife about it until we left. But hallelujah. She does not like rats. Hallelujah. And you know, where I grew up, they say you see rat count, see one, count ten. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't have to count ten. There were ten running around in the room. Hallelujah. But these people came to us after the meeting and they said, you know what? You cannot forget about us.
Hallelujah.
You can't forget about us. Please come back. Come back. Give us literature. Give us whatever you can give us. We want to hear what it is. Hallelujah. We were in a meeting in Monrovia. And after we got through, the pastors took us aside to talk with us. And I said to my friend George, I said, oh, boy, this is where we get it. Hallelujah. This is where we get it. But you know, I was very, very pleasantly surprised. Because we didn't get it. What we got was an invite. The man said, you know, there were 25 of them, weren't there? And the man said, you know, this is the first time that we have been able to get all of these different denominations under one roof.
Oh, Jesus.
He said, the first time in so many years. and to be able to agree on one thing. And the one thing that we agree on is that you have to come back.
Hallelujah.
He was talking to the group of us. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, one man, he said, I've been a Baptist pastor for 35 years. Is that right? Hallelujah. And he says, I have never heard the word like I heard it today. I have never sensed or felt the vitality in energy in the Word of God that I am feeling from you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I have been thinking about retiring. He says, I am reconsidering.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, brethren, if you think God is giving us an opportunity. Hallelujah. To be on the cutting edge. God is giving us individually and separately an opportunity to be upon the cutting edge. But not all of us are going to decide that that's where we want to be. Because the two-edged sword does what? Cuts going, cuts coming back. Oh, we don't mind the cut going. Huh? It's when it begins to swing backwards that we begin to yell and scream and look for a place to hide. Hallelujah. But God is raising up a people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is raising up a people because I want to tell you something. There is going to be an ark of people that God will build.
Amen.
That will save not only humanity, but will save the world.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are coming into the time frame of the destruction that was prophesied to Brother Duseal through the word of God that was given to him. He said, I'm sending you to the U.S. just before. We didn't know that the just before was going to be 50 years. But in God's timing, 50 years is nothing.
That's right.
If a day is as 1,000 years, just before can be 50 years.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now you think about this man Noah. I want to go back to Noah because Matthew 24 says, as in the days of Noah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That ark and the building of it, if they were to believe it really existed, should have been the number one wonder of the whole world. What they did was impossible for them to do, as we know their time frame and the mechanics and the knowledge that they had in that aspect of what it was he did. It was impossible for him to profess to have that kind of knowledge.
Yeah. Right.
Just moving material. Eight souls. That's Noah, his wife, and his sons and daughters. Huh? That's all there was.
That's right.
That's all there was. Now, do you think they were always in agreement? Well, if their children are like my boys when they were growing up. If they were like my boys when they were growing up. I'd come into their bedroom at 6 o'clock in the morning and shake their beds and say, come on, get up. You got to go to work with me today. Hallelujah. Oh, sure. They just jump right out of their bed, right? Oh, yes, I'm ready, Dad. Let's go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm full of energy. I'm ready to I'm ready to swing that hammer, pick up those boards, sweep and dust and clean. Oh, no, Dad. I don't want to go today. Huh? Hallelujah. You think his boys were supernatural? You think his wife was this little angel out of heaven? And him and his personality and what it was, you think he was a saint? Hello? Hallelujah. He was a human being. He was a man. And living in a natural set of environment. And there was something he had to overcome in order to fulfill the will of God. And on top of that, how did he get the information?
God.
God.
Oh, yes. He must have had visitations from God. You know, sometimes, you know, just mark it up to my over-imaginative mind. Hello? But I can see Noah walking with God, reviewing the site.
Amen.
I don't know. You could say I'm crazy. I don't care. Hallelujah. But, you know, if God would walk and talk with Adam, if God would walk and talk with Abraham, why would not God walk and talk with Noah on something so important?
Yeah.
The engineering of that thing was totally incredible.
That's right.
It was incredible to hold the weight. Can you imagine? And they didn't even have things, I don't think, called boats, at least not where Noah was. Hello? They may have had them somewhere else. But Noah was a landlubber. He was landlocked. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He had no knowledge. He had no ability to comprehend. Hallelujah. The totality of what it was that that God was demanding of it. I can just see an ark. You think he went on the internet?
No.
How to build an ark. Hallelujah. Where did he get his information? You know, sometimes when I went building a house, the owner would come out. We never did like to see him, by the way, until we were done. They always wanted to change things. And then whenever they wanted to change it, they'd expect to just change it for free. Hallelujah, it doesn't work like that. But nevertheless, they would come out and we would kind of walk around the building. And I would say, well, this is what I'm doing here and this is what I'm doing here. And you know, most people, most home builders, they cannot see the end product. They see the stick, they see the wood, they see the wires in the wall, the plumbing, and kind of trying to, I can't make no sense out of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the things I was blessed with when they gave me a blueprint, I could always see it finished. Hallelujah. But you would have to describe it for them. Well, the kitchen counter's going to be here, and your refrigerator's here, and your stove's right here, and then you get in there and you say, you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and you don't have to walk too far. You don't have to, everything is there. Wouldn't that be nice? Praise the Lord. And you walk them in the bathroom, and they're looking at it, and the thing. But with God, it was different. God was walking and talking with Noah, and says, you know, here, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to move this, and move that, and do and construct this, and some of the things that, this. Just think about the feeding.
Yeah.
Huh? Anybody ever feed animals? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. I had horses at one time. And trying to get my boys to feed them. They always wanted horses, but they never wanted to feed them. Hallelujah. It's a chore. You got to go someplace to buy the straw, the feed. You got to bring it. You got to store it. You got to go out there. You got to feed it. And then after you feed them, you got to clean up after them.
Yeah.
How many animals were in that ark? Huh? That's a lot of fertilizer. There had to be a system by which that, and there were only 8 people.
That's right.
Do you know how long it would have taken 8 people without some mechanized manner of dealing with the issues? If there wasn't, how long it would take him from morning to dark, all 8 of them, and they wouldn't get done.
Right.
Hallelujah. The man had to have interviews with God.
Amen.
God had to instruct him each step of the way.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're talking about a boat that is, what, 300 cubits long,
yes.
50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Huh? That's as high as this building from higher probably. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
How would you get the lumber from the ground up to the top story? Hallelujah. Woo. Brethren, The man had a relationship. Now, do you think it's going to be any different for you and I in the construction of an ark that God is wanting to build in this day, in this age, to save humanity as well as the earth? Do you think it's going to be any less involved? Do you think it's going to be any less incremental and intricate in the implementation of it? You are going to have to walk with God. You are going to have to talk with God. I am going to have personal interviews with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I have to get my soul into a place to where it has the capacity to hold and to be able to maintain its position of life in the presence of an almighty God. Hallelujah. We are still rapture people. We think that God is going to do something very miraculous. Huh? We think God is going to do something very stupendous with regards to our situation, that all of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, our total environment is going to change inwardly and outwardly. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Moses spent 80 days on a mountain with a living God just to come down with a pattern. 80 days of intense of intensity of relationship. Hello? Do you understand what God is saying? That if you and I want to be in that position, want to be in that place, we have to demonstrate some of that aptitude.
Yes.
It's not a matter of me being right. Hallelujah. Let me be wrong to be right. Huh? Strange thought, huh? Let me be wrong to be right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a matter of personal position of relationship. Hallelujah. You know, it says of man, it says here, being made so much better, being made so much better than angels, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, that he has obtained. Did you, that word obtain?
Yeah.
Means he's earned it. Oh, we don't want to talk about that, do we? We just want to talk about the grace. We want to talk about the love. But the love and the grace are given to you so that you might be able to obtain.
Amen. That's right.
You have to obtain, Lucy. You just can't sit there. You're going to medical advancement, right? Hallelujah. It requires you to come from one place to another place. And you have studies day in, day out, over and out. You want to obtain something out of that, don't you? Hallelujah. And you're working at it. You have to work hard at it. Long hours, long time, and there's money involved in it. Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Huh.
Hallelujah. How is it that we think that our position, our place, is going to be less accountable than what it was for Noah? It is more. Because in sundry times, he spoke through what? Prophets. Hallelujah. But this time, he's not speaking to us in prophets. He's speaking to us by virtue of a son.
Amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. My goodness. Brethren, I want to encourage you not to be discouraged. I want to encourage you to press. I want to encourage you to focus upon what is necessary. The devil wants to send out smoke screens all over the place.
That's right.
Hello? Personal smoke screens, individual smoke screens, smoke screens, smoke screens, smoke screens. Get you diverted. Get you off the hook. Get your eyes off of the vision.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It was in this meeting. It was in a meeting in this place. Hallelujah. Several years ago, that the Lord showed me a picture of his people. Hello? Easily what?
Diverted.
Diverted. Easily subverted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My goodness. We have to understand the reality of what it is and the responsibility that is upon us individually. Hallelujah. We have to understand the accountability that is, I have to come and know my accountability. My accountability. Hallelujah. In the business of God as it pertains to me, my family, and the cooperative aspect of God's people. What is my accountability? Hallelujah. I have to assess it. I have to come to some conclusion. Not on the conclusion of what I think is right, but on the conclusion of the vision that I have for of God in me and the end time. Without that vision, I cannot do anything. Hallelujah. I could never repent. I could never say I'm sorry. I could never change or want to change even the environment of what I am or where I am or what I am doing. Hallelujah. There is a need for me to know the reality. One of the prophets says it even a little more explicitly. He said, where there is no vision. Huh? People what?
Perish.
They perish. Vision of what? Building a church?
No.
Of being able to get along with each other?
No.
Amen. Huh? What is it? It's a vision of God.
That's right.
Of what is in God. Read the verse. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Hallelujah. Talking about vision. Ephesians. I gotta find Ephesians. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Maybe it's the 2nd chapter. I'm sorry. 1st chapter. Ephesians, the 1st chapter. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
he's very specific, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's many gods out there, and there's many things that we call Jesus that aren't Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we have religious deception, you know.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Why? So you can go out and deliver the world? No. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His. Who's His?
Yeah.
Huh? Who's His? It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. That you may know what is the riches, that you may know. Wait a minute. That you may know what is the hope of Jesus Christ's calling. And what the riches of the glory of Jesus Christ's inheritance, what? Where?
In the saints.
In the saints. That's you. That's me. That's all of us. But I have to come to this place. And this is where God is wanting to bring us, to this place. Hallelujah. It's no longer a me thing. It's a His thing.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's a His thing. And I have to be lined up with his purposes, His plan. And you know, sometimes I just don't like the plan that God has for my life. Oh, I'm not like you. I'm like you in that you're really comforted and encouraged concerning the plan that God has for your life. But you know something? Some of the things that God wants me to do are very, very impossible things. They're impossible. Hallelujah. Why? Because there is yet darkness in my life that I'm comfortable with. I'm hid there in that darkness. Hello?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But I have to be willing for God's light to shine into the innermost recesses of my soul.
Amen.
Not your soul. Hallelujah. Not their soul. I have to let His light shine into the innermost recesses of my soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, there was one thing about Jesus Christ I don't know. I haven't heard a whole lot about it. When they crucified him, they stripped him naked. Now, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't cognizant of it with all of the beating and all of that. But he was a very humble private man. And there were hundreds of people there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, God. Humiliating. It hurts me thinking about it.
Yes.
And yet God said to the woman that was living and lamenting, he says, weep not for me.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Jesus. But weep for your sons.
Yes.
Yes.
For what they are doing with me, they will do to them.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Can you bear it? Can you foresee it? Do you want it? Well, let me say, I want to want it.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. Oh, sure.
You know, God is getting down to the brass tacks. He's getting down where the rubber meets the road. Huh? Nitty gritty. Huh. It isn't going to be pleasant. It isn't going to be easy. It's going to be... that's an understatement. It's going to be impossible. Unless I have that living relationship with Him.
Hallelujah.
Unless I am abiding in Him and He in me. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you.